Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is John Morton, Director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Cruiser. So, John, I often talk to my guests about the collaboration and partnership they have with other agencies and the private sector, but I'd like to focus on how ICE manages information sharing among agencies for intelligence and law enforcement.
Well, we've been helped by Congress that passed a number of statutory provisions right after 9/11 that encouraged the agencies to share more, right instinct, right call. And since that time, you have seen the agencies opening their databases to each other in a sort of much more coordinated and thoughtful way. So the Secure Communities Program, for example, is based on information sharing between FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and the State Department. The vetting that we now do for visa applicants is much more thoughtful and robust and is based on information sharing, again, between many, many agencies across the government. And it's allowed us to identify bad actors a lot more accurately and a lot earlier in the process. Now, I'll say it comes with a lot of challenges, and one of those is there's an enormous amount of information out there in those databases, and certain simply just linking them doesn't do you any good if you don't have a really good means of going through and having thoughtful searches with good algorithms looking for what is often a needle in a haystack. Fortunately, technology has progressed to the point that it is frankly quite amazing now how you can bring together a lot of disparate databases, sets of information, and with sophisticated algorithms, look for common patterns, common flags, common indicators that allow you to identify, say, 10 people who might be engaged in human trafficking in a way that a manual effort would never have been able to do, or that if you had relied on ICE's databases alone, you never would have seen that. A lot of work still to be done. It's a challenge just because, you know, listen, millions of people are traveling the globe every day. There's a lot to sort through, and you have to pay important attention to people's privacy.
So, John, I think our listeners will certainly conclude from this interview that there is ample work to be done within ICE. I thought it interesting when you said you could take all the agents and move them to just one activity and have plenty of work for them. If there's probably nothing else that's certain, though, as we look toward the future, the luxury of big budgets does not appear to be, at least in the, you know, the rest of our careers, I would think. So what work are you doing to really look at where additional efficiencies, where duplication can be eliminated, and where additional prioritization can be done?
So you're right. I don't think that in the near future any of the law enforcement agencies, any of the agencies in the federal government are looking at major budget increases. So that means we've got to tighten our belt wherever possible and, as you said, focus on prioritization. We've just got to be upfront about being asked to do more than our resources allow. And so within what our resources permit, focusing on those things that are going to bring the best result for the people of the United States and the communities in which we serve. So for ICE, I think you will see a continued effort to stay focused on sensible immigration enforcement priorities, criminals, recent border entrants, people who've been deported, come back again, people who've engaged in fraud. And does that mean that we're going to spend less time focused on somebody who's been here 15 years, has got 3 U.S. citizen children and 2 cars in the driveway and a clean record? Yes, that's right. That's what it means when each year you can remove maybe 400,000 people and there's a pool of between 11 and 14 million people that in theory you should remove. That there's no other answer than prioritization unless you're going to go with a model of, well, it's the first 400,000 people we come across. That could be the model. I just don't think it makes any sense. Well, I am going to start with a person with two felony convictions. That's just, that makes sense. I think it's going to mean looking to purchase services in a way more like businesses have heretofore, being, you know, thinking about yourself as a competitive, sophisticated consumer. And that's particularly true when you have parts of your budget that are high dollar. Sometimes the private sector can do things more efficiently than government. There are other times when doing things in-house with federal employees makes more sense, is more efficient, and leads to a lower cost for the taxpayer. And we've just got to constantly look at those things, constantly think about good management in the agency to save money. There's just no other way. We are not going to look at or see large increases in our budget for the next few years.
I guess a kind of a follow-up on that, and you know, I know it's impossible to know what the future is going to bring, but you know, having done this your entire career, what are the things that you are concerned about that will be problems in the future that you're going to have to roll into everything else that you've told us today that you do?
Attracting and maintaining a educated, motivated, sophisticated workforce, I think, is very important. I'm cognizant as a leader and manager of people how important people are to the underlying success of an organization. You've got to have good vision, you've got to have a good game plan, but at the end of the day, you've got to have good people. I also think a big challenge going forward, we have to prioritize, we have to have a thoughtful set of principles that drives the executive branch's actions. And that's going to be particularly pronounced when budgets continue to get reduced. And there just literally is going to be no way to do all of the things that we might have done in the past. And we're going to have some very difficult and honest conversations about what things we're going to do less of. And I also think, particular to ICE, we're going to have to come to a national consensus on immigration. It hasn't happened so far during my tenure, although I think slowly but surely there is a near universal recognition that we cannot continue on as we have in the past, that we have to come to some rational immigration reform. The devil's in the details, high passions on either side on how that's going to look, but everyone who is thoughtful on this subject agrees that the present system is not working, that the laws need reform, and we've got to change.
As we close this conversation today, I'd like to get your advice on two aspects. One is, how do you cultivate a culture of integrity within your agency? And more importantly, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, let me start with the latter. If you're thinking about a career in public service, I would strongly encourage you to embrace it. I think it has been, for me, a life-defining journey and one that has been overwhelmingly positive. And if you're the kind of person that likes to get up every day and have a sense of purpose, government offers that in a way that many businesses don't. Integrity is a big part of being a public servant. Like anything, there are temptations in life, but I give speeches a lot to young people who are sort of considering going into government service, or to young prosecutors or to young agents, and I just tell them, you know, sometimes you'll be in a situation where you really want this particular case to work, and there isn't an ethical way to make it work. Government depends on the populace believing in government actors, believing that the process is fair, that it's credible, that it is not one that is subject to gross manipulation by the wealthy and powerful. There are bad actors in any organization. We have had several instances at ICE in the past year where employees have engaged in fraud and misconduct and have been prosecuted and have gone to jail, and that's true across the federal government. That's why we have a very robust Office of Professional Responsibility. That's why we have inspector generals. That's an important function. It's one that we need to support. I'm a huge supporter of it within ICE. We do professional responsibility not only for ICE but also for some of our sister agencies, and it's a necessary function. And I also think that government is lost if you don't have that sense of integrity. That's what separates us from so many other countries. And you hear that all the time when people come here and they say, well, yeah, you know, this particular kind of corruption was endemic where I grew up. And you can't do that in the United States. And, you know, that's not to say that there isn't corruption in the United States or people don't do bad things. But at the end of the day, I still think one of the reasons we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth is that we do have a strong sense of law and order, and we have enforcement systems that are very strong and maintain an appropriate balance between aggressive enforcement against people who are breaking the law and at the same time providing a lot of protection for people who are going through that process so we don't inadvertently arrest and prosecute the innocent.
Well, John, I want to thank you once again for your time today, for coming back to the show. And but more importantly, George and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, I appreciate it. I always love coming to interviews where it is, let's just say, not scripted, not turning around sound bites, and you have an opportunity for some thoughtful discussion. And that's why I'm back here. I remember the first time I was on the show, and I thought it was extremely well done. So I won't promise that I'll be here in 3 years. But
well, you have an open invitation, sir.
It's been good.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with John Morton, Director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. My co-host from IBM has been George Cruiser. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.